Samsudim, Lesha, Vaha, Prapadyate, प्रवर्तते Translation, when a devotee takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God, and these devotees are cleansed of all misunderstanding or mental speculation, and he manifests renunciation. This is possible only when one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga. Once having taken shelter at the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, a devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of the threefold miseries. Purport as stated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shastaka instructions, by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, the process of hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord, one's mind is gradually cleansed of all dirt. Due to our material associations, this time immemorial, we have accumulated heaps of dirty things in our minds. The total effect of this takes place when a living entity identifies himself with the body and is thus entrapped by its principal laws of material nature, put into the cycle of repeated birth and death under the false impression of bodily identification. When one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga, his mind is cleansed of this misunderstanding and he is no longer interested in material existence or in sense gratification. Bhakti or devotional service is characterized by vairagya and jnana. Jnana refers to understanding one is not as a body, and vairagya means disinterest in sense gratification. These two primary principles of separation from material bondage can be realized on the strength of bhakti yoga. Thus, when a devotee is fixed in the loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he will never come back to this material existence after quitting his body, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord. In this verse, the word vijnana is specifically important. Vijnana, the knowledge of spiritual identity that one attains when he does not consider himself to be the body, is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Brahmabhuta, revival of spiritual realization. In the conditioned state of material existence, one cannot be spiritually realized because he identifies himself materially. The understanding of the distinction between material existence and spiritual existence is called jnana. After coming to the platform of jnana, or the Brahmabhuta state, one ultimately comes to devotional service in which he is completely understands his own position and the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding is explained here as jnana vishesha. The Lord says, therefore, that knowledge of him is jnana, science. In other words, when one is strengthened by scientific knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his position of liberation is guaranteed. In Bhagavad Gita, the science of devotional service is described as pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, direct understanding of the principles of religion by realization. By practicing bhakti yoga, one can directly proceed to advance in spiritual life. In other practices like karma yoga, jnana yoga, and jnana yoga, one may not be confident about his progress, but in bhakti yoga, one can become directly aware of his progress in spiritual life. This is a person who eats can understand that his hunger is satisfied. Our false appetite for enjoyment and lordship of the material world is due to a prominence of passion and ignorance. By bhakti yoga, these two qualities are diminished and one becomes situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually surpassing the mode of goodness, one is situated in pure goodness, which is not contaminated by the material qualities. When thus situated, the devotee no longer has any doubts. He knows that he will not come back to this material world. Translation: when a devotee takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God, he is completely cleansed of all misunderstanding or mental speculation, manifest renunciation. This is possible only when one is strengthened by practicing bhakti yoga. Once having taken shelter of the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, the devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of beautiful miseries. So, the point here is that one should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, the hungry mule, kritikitana, taking refuge of those feet, then these different symptoms appear. That is, be near duta ashesha manomala. One is cleansed of unlimited contaminations in the mind. Which means, of course, I was explaining the other day, that on taking to devotional service, karmas and desires and ahankara are all destroyed. So these are the contaminations in the mind. The mind holds desires, and of course the mind in the larger sense, the subtle body, holds the karmas and the false ego, etc. So this is destroyed by devotional service, or bhakti, that is taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And consequently, the result is the samsara ends. Samsara, which gives suffering, is finished with. So if you want to end birth and death in this material world, ultimately suffering, we have to cleanse the material mind of all contamination. So there are different processes to do that. You can do it through jnana. If we look in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that jnana destroys all karmas, like the fire destroys wood. Everything is burned up. Similar to Kapila in the third canto says that the process of Astanga Yoga will burn up the whole subtle body. So that means all desires, ahankar, etc., are annihilated by the process of yoga. So these two processes also can accomplish this. And if they do, then samsara is finished. Once we get rid of the subtle body, then we are free from birth and death in this material world. So these two processes will do that. Karma yoga will not do that. It will purify the mind to some extent, but not completely purify it. And therefore, karma yoga in itself will not give liberation, but simply advancement on sattva-guna. However, we should not think that actually jnana and karma can actually produce this result, because jnana itself is in the mode of goodness, so it cannot produce something beyond the goodness. For that reason, jnana in itself or yoga in itself do not give liberation. Liberation is achieved by the Supreme Lord's mercy only, even in personal liberation. So, therefore, the jnani and the yogi also have to do a little bit of bhakti, and that will ensure that they get liberation. So they're not independent processes, even though they work. So the more intelligent process, if they cannot actually give liberation, is to use that process that actually does give a liberation, that is bhakti. So if we do bhakti, we also get the same result, since that is what gives liberation. But if we do bhakti without these other processes, it is even quicker. So if we want liberation from the material world, the easiest way of doing it is through bhakti, not through jnana or yoga. Even though the goal of bhakti is not liberation, still, it is easier to get liberation just by doing bhakti. That is what is actually glorified, that if you want liberation, actually just do bhakti and you're free from birth and death in the material world. So as you know, if one attains pure bhakti, then automatically liberation is achieved, because we get a spiritual body in the spiritual world and there's no birth and death there. So whatever result we get from liberation, we also get from bhakti. But the process is easier. So, most people in the material world, because they are suffering, they desire to get out of suffering. So one way of getting out of suffering is by getting some material assets, or getting good health, whatever, and getting some material happiness. So for them, karma yoga is sublime. So the majority of people will think like this: I want to get rid of the suffering, let me get some material assets. So the Vedic system is do karma yoga for that purpose. So, of course, it is not a final solution. It's a temporary solution, because you still have birth and death, whatever. But one who is not so intelligent will not think like that. When he becomes intelligent, then he will perceive that actually this is not so happy after all. That is when he gets to sattva-guna. Then he's qualified for these other processes, jnana and astanga yoga and bhakti. So karma yoga has this function also for people who are very attached to the material world. When they're less attached, let them do jnana yoga, astanga yoga, or bhakti yoga. Nevertheless, these other processes are also more difficult, jnana and yoga, to achieve their results. So for the people in general, better they do bhakti yoga. If they are attached to the material world, yes, let them get their material things. But at the same time,
if they're intelligent, let them also engage in bhakti. So this is what Prithu Maharaj is saying here. Yes, he is establishing Varnashram system, but above that, one should also be a devotee of the Lord and practice devotion, surrender to the Supreme Lord. Then that is a higher process, actually. So you can get your material things through karma yoga, but higher than that is bhakti. So what this is mixed bhakti. This, of course, is not the best bhakti also. But it is better than karma yoga, jnana yoga, or sangha yoga. So mixed bhakti is better than that. So higher than that, of course, is if the person who's doing this mixed bhakti finally becomes disinterested in the material asset, and he's not attached to karma yoga anymore, then he can give it up. Then he's just pure bhakti. So pure bhakti exists by itself. It is independent of all the other processes. So if one has faith, then one gives up the other processes completely, simply just bhakti. So what is the principle in bhakti? The main principle is surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. Complete dependence on the Supreme Lord. That is the main principle. And if that happens, if one can do that very nicely, then one is successful. So automatically, one is free from samsara, the material world, etc. Here it also describes that one is a sangha vijnana vishesha viryaman. One is very strong because of special vijnana. So jnana, of course, means knowledge. Vijnana means vishesha jnana, very special knowledge, or vivikta jnana. So as Prabhupada explains in the purport, the devotee develops knowledge. Knowledge of atma, or body. Jnana. He develops special knowledge, vijnana. That is, knowledge of Supreme Lord, different from atma, different from body. So that is the higher knowledge of vijnana. And he has that knowledge, and as well as that, he is his asanga, detachment from the material world. So he has knowledge and detachment. So why are these mentions? Because generally people think that in order to get liberation, we need vairagya and jnana, detachment and knowledge. So that's a normal process through jnana and yoga. But as First Canto of Bhagavatam says, jnana and vairagya automatically accompany the process of bhakti without any special endeavor. So the devotee is strong or viryavan with, or especially strong with, knowledge and renunciation, not as a separate endeavor, but as a result of the bhakti itself. So he just does not have this knowledge, he has knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So knowledge of the Supreme Lord ultimately leads to bhakti, and bhakti means complete attachment to the Lord. Consequently, we're completely detached from the material world. So that is how automatically one becomes detached. So that is a stronger position than simply becoming detached. Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, says real sannyas means to give everything to the Lord, not simply to give up everything, but to give everything to the Lord. So real detachment means strong attachment to the Lord. So this is a much stronger principle than simply becoming detached from everything in the material world. So that is the principle of bhakti. One becomes completely attached to the Lord and automatically detached from everything else. So a person who does bhakti attains that process, and then automatically he is free from the material world. So whatever is accomplished by jnana and yoga is automatically accomplished by bhakti in a much simpler and easier way.
Yeah. that?
Yeah, but you have to practice a little bhakti also.
So you must have some big jnana there also, actually.
Yeah.
No, one can do that, but in order to get liberation, one has to actually have a little bhakti also. So one must recognize the Supreme Lord also. Well, yes, everyone must die, the material body must be given up. Once the material body is given up, there's no more birth and death. Obviously. In other words, we can't make the material body eternal. Well, it depends. If they have not attained prema bhakti, then they will come back. Like Bara had Baba, so he came back as deers and he came back as Janbara, because he did not have complete purity. So until that complete purity is attained, then one comes back. Yeah, that's complete surrender.
Maharaj, surrender is dependence on the Lord, but how do we, what is the balance between dependence on the Lord and endeavor?
Well, the two things go together. In other words, if there's no mercy of the Lord, we can't do anything. Bhakti is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. To depend on the Lord and do nothing, that's also useless. Now, I will do nothing. This Lord should be merciful to me. That's also not good. So there must be our own endeavor. Willingness to serve the Lord must be there. And we get the mercy of the Lord, and then we can do something for the Lord. So both things are there. Well, when we do the endeavor, we should not think this is independent of Krishna's mercy, that's all. In other words, we should not become proud of our endeavors.
Mantra Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai,
Jalandhar Maharaj ki
jai,
Jai Nidhi Bhakti Rasa Krishna Prabhupada ki
jai,
Jai Gopi Prabhupada ki jai.